Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Hey, so we had a move today that we just did, Dylan Coby. We were going to send to Pawtucket and try to get him stretched out. So we actually liked what we saw today. We had talked about doing this move before the game and actually the last couple days. And so, but I thought he looked good. I thought his off-speed pitches were good. He threw strikes, but he's not built up. We need to get him there. Try to extend him out maybe to three innings the next time and then maybe four after that. And then we'll see what our need is when he gets stretched out, when he's strong.
All right, that's the manager of your Boston Red Sox. They're now 1-1 after a 7-2 loss to the Orioles over at Fenway this afternoon. They will play the last of that three-game set, and the Red Sox need to win tomorrow with Ryan Weber on the mound to take 2 of 3 from the Baltimore Orioles. The Red Sox are actually in jeopardy of losing a three-game series to the Baltimore Orioles, who won 54 games last year and were outscored by 232 runs. You heard Ron Rennecke talking about Dylan Covey, the decisions he made with him, first of all, to put him in the game in the seventh inning, and secondly, to now send him back down to AAA, or to send him to Pawtucket to work out. There's no minor league games, but to get him ready to pitch more innings. So the biggest issues that I've had with the game today are I don't understand, I can't comprehend, nobody's been able to explain why this was a good idea today. Because the way that I looked at the 19 Red Sox, and the 19 Red Sox, obviously, significantly more talented than this team. Chris Sale did not have a good year, but obviously Chris Sale is Chris Sale. David Price had a pretty good year, and then he fell off with the injuries. So, and you had Mookie Betts. That team was significantly more talented than the team on the field this year. But there was this lax approach to the beginning of the season last year, where you were in a situation where none of the pitchers were ready to go. Remember that a season ago? None of those guys were ready to go at the beginning of the season. Alex Cora wanted to ease them into the season. It didn't work. It backfired. And the one thing we heard about that is, hey, well, the guys are going to be fresher at the end of the year. Okay, well, Sale wasn't available at the end of the season. Oh, yeah, and David Price wasn't available at the end of the season, so it didn't work out. But they had this lax approach to the year because they had just come off a World Series. What I don't understand this year, after the horrible season you had last year, where I don't know if there was a team in sports last year that underachieved more than the 2019 Boston Red Sox, you would figure you would be on the gas pedal. And I understand that you don't have the same team that you've had in recent years. You're not as talented as the Yankees and the Dodgers, etc., or the Astros. You're not as talented as those teams. But I would think that you would come out fighting and wanting to win games. And today, I keep saying tonight because I'm used to night games. But when I look at the game today, the thing that jumps off the page to me is they weren't doing everything they could do to win this game. And in a 60-game season, an abbreviated season, you can't drop games to the Orioles just because you want to see what Dylan Covey can do. The time to give Dylan Covey an experience was yesterday. You wanted to mess around. You guys ran him off the field. It was a joke yesterday, right? The Red Sox had 10 runs by the fourth inning. So that was the time, if you wanted to see what Dylan Covey could do, that's when you bring him into the game. A guy that, let me remind you, signed a minor league contract with the Tampa Bay Rays. He had a 7.98 ERA last year in Chicago, and the Rays, a team in your division, gave him to you, right? So when you just look at it, it would have made a lot of sense to put him into the game yesterday if what you need is for him to eat up innings later on in the season, because clearly the Red Sox are going to need those type of pitchers considering the fact that their starting rotation has been decimated. So you're going to need guys like that. I understand the role that maybe Covey can play down the road, but in this game, when it's a 5-2 ball game, after the sixth inning, you cut into the lead to make it 5-2, that's not the time to mess around and see what Dylan Covey has. That's the time to bring out Matt Barnes, who struck out 15 guys per nine innings last year, who was a dominant reliever at the beginning of last season before he got worn down, who was a dominant reliever in the 18 postseason. That's the time that Matt Barnes comes into the game. He makes it stay at 5-2, and then you feel like, all right, top of the order coming up, although Benintendi was not good again today. Let's go at him, and let's see if we can come back and win this game. But when you go down 7-2, then you make it a lot more difficult. And why? Because you wanted to see how Dylan Covey would look. And then Ron Reinicke says, I look good. Okay, he had a clean inning after that, but the first inning was not clean, and he gave up a pair of runs, and he basically made the game over for you. So I don't know how you can say that he looked good. He didn't. And the end result, you lost the game. Great, Dylan Covey looks good. Oh, yeah, he looked good in the second inning of his work. Great. Awesome. That really means a lot to me right now. It really means a lot to me that you just got embarrassed by the Baltimore Orioles. Really great. Really like that. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, this is one of my other big issues with the way the season has started. Rafael Devers does not look ready. 2020 has started. The 2020 season is underway. And Rafael Devers, your star young third baseman, has yet to appear. In fact, all Rafael Devers has done in the first two games, he's actually hurt the team. Defensively, it's now two separate things. That in the first two games, he's had issues defensively in more than one way, and that's something obviously you can't have with Rafael Devers. So with Devers in the first game last night, remember that play that he made where he had a nice pick, but then he threw it way over Chavis's head. Chavis jumps up, he catches it, he does tag the runner. Ron Reinicke doesn't challenge. So Devers kind of gets away with them not getting into any trouble with that. And Reinicke, by the way, he was asleep then. He should have challenged. I don't know what he was doing there. He didn't challenge. I don't understand why he didn't. But nonetheless, he didn't challenge. No harm, no foul. Nothing happened. But it was a sloppy throw by Devers. Today, again, in the first inning of the ballgame, he booted a Severino ground ball to third base, and that expanded the Baltimore Orioles' lead early in the game. So you can't have that from Rafael Devers. And not to mention his at-bats have been horrible. I get he's more of a free swinger, but he's looked horrible on some of these plate appearances. So my thing with Rafael Devers is somebody has to get to him and let him know, you know, like, let's go here. The season has started, and Cora was that guy a season ago. Cora took him under his wings and was able to basically fire Rafael Devers up and realize, or at least this, make him accountable, right? Because last year, after that game that they lost to the White Sox, and Rafael Devers made a critical error that ended up, in the long run, costing the Red Sox the game, it was Alex Cora that said publicly, not good enough. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he basically said, not good enough. We got to be better. And after that, Devers realized, hey, I cost my team a game. And after that, Devers was really good defensively. The rest of the season, Devers was really good defensively. So you need to have some type of leader on this team, and I'm hoping that guy can be Xander Bogaerts, because I don't think it's going to be Ron Reinicke. He had Alex Cora. Alex Cora was that guy. I believe it may have to be Xander Bogaerts, who's supposed to be the vocal leader of the team, the face of the team, etc., the guy that was an MVP candidate a year ago. He's really good friends with Rafael Devers. Somebody's going to tell him, come on, man. You can't be playing that sloppy defensively. Not a good look to begin the season. And then the other thing I would point to, and this is more of an issue with the manager than it is anything else. And look, I don't mind, and I wasn't, when I saw the original plan to hit JD Martinez second, I was like, I'm not the biggest fan of it, but all right, fine. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. I'll acknowledge that. I wasn't like, oh, genius move by Ron Reinicke. But at least I know with JD Martinez, he wasn't good in 16 hitting in the two hole, but at least I know this guy's a world-class hitter. And he'll figure it out, right? He'll figure it out. JD Martinez, he can do that. Yeah, we've seen it before. And when you look at the analytical approach, a lot of these teams like to put their best hitter second. We've seen it in the past. Mike Trout hits second, right? Aaron Judge hits second. A lot of teams are doing this now in baseball, is they're putting their best hitter second in the lineup. So, okay, I can understand that. It looks a little bit odd having J.D. Martinez in the two-hole, like if you're used to traditional baseball, but whatever, I'm cool with it. I didn't have as big of an issue as I had with it to the Benintendi thing. And that's the thing that I can't comprehend. If you have proof from last year that Benintendi was not good in the leadoff spot, why do you go with him there again? Because last night, he didn't look comfortable again. First at bat, weak ground out. Third inning, struck out on three pitches. Slider out of the zone, by the way, that he struck out on. He did walk in the fourth inning, great, but everybody was walking in that inning.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone.
And then in the sixth inning, he flew out, and then he walked again in the eighth. Okay, so he had a couple of walks. All right, then today it got worse. First at bat, strikes out on four pitches. Horrible at bat. Looked at a fastball. Second at bat, goes down on a knee swinging at a pitch. Hits a ball into the shift up the middle, but he went down to a knee to try to hit a splitter. Third at bat, 87-mile-an-hour splitter out of the zone he chased. Struck out. Grounds out to second, soft, and then flies out to center field. Nothing special there. And now he has five strikeouts already in the season. And so I understand the player has got to perform, but if you keep putting the player in a position where he's not going to succeed, that goes on the manager or whoever is making the decision to hit him leadoff, right? It's like if Bill Belichick didn't think a guy was good at a certain position, would he keep him there? No, he'd move him. All right, Devin McCourty, great rookie season as a corner. Next year, not so great. Okay, let's move him to safety. So you keep him at safety. When I look at Andrew Benintendi, he's not a leadoff hitter. The player is not comfortable hitting leadoff, and it's crystal clear. If you look at it, the numbers would tell you all you need to know. In the leadoff spot last year, he hit 256. He was 297 in the two-hole. Significantly better. And when he was the first hitter leading off games, and you haven't had this happen to you yet because you haven't played on the road, he hit just 119 with a 229 on base percentage. So what you have is data from last year that tells you this guy's not good hitting leadoff, and this was a big mistake last year. And you screwed up Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi last year if you were the Red Sox, if you were Alex Cora, where your big announcement at the winter meetings was, hey, yeah, you know what we're going to do. Guy that just won the MVP hit 346. We're moving him in the order. I'm sorry, what? Why are you doing that? Why does that make sense? So anyway, they switched Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi in the lineup, and they both sucked. Well, Mookie didn't suck, but he was not nearly as good in the two-hole as the leadoff spot. We can all acknowledge this. Mookie was not comfortable in the two-hole, and Andrew Benintendi was not comfortable hitting first in the lineup. And yet we're coming back out for the 2020 season, and there he is. Now, the guy that I would like to see get that spot is Verdugo, who had three hits today, and I get it, it's one game, but I do like his energy out there. Verdugo's definitely a candidate for the job. You could throw maybe Pilar in there, but Benintendi is much more comfortable hitting fifth or sixth in the lineup behind some of these big boppers. That's where Benintendi should be, and this is a massive year for Benintendi. His numbers have gone down the past three seasons, and I'm trying to figure this out with Benintendi. Benintendi's somebody that obviously had confidence issues last year, and he felt like, okay, and Rob Bradford brought this up when I was doing a show with him a couple of weeks ago. He felt like he got too stiff. He felt like he was too big, right? He bulked up too much. So he decided to lose some of that weight to become more athletic again, okay? So now he's trying to prove himself. And when I look at Benintendi, the manager, Ron Renneke, is not putting him in the best position to succeed. So that's actually hurting the team. Benintendi is much more comfortable hitting fifth or sixth in the lineup. So why would you do that? And this is a player that's trying to earn a long-term contract down the road here, right? He's got a lot to play for in the next couple of years. Is he just going to be a guy? Because he's still a pretty good player, although this year, two games, he hasn't been great. He's still a pretty good player, even if he's the guy he was a year ago. But he's not what you expected from Benintendi. So if he's going to take a leap forward, the manager's got to put him in a position to succeed. And in my mind, Redicky's not doing that whatsoever, putting him in the leadoff spot when we all know he's not a leadoff hitter. He may look like a leadoff hitter, right? He's small. He's fast. He plays left field. He may look like a leadoff hitter, but the reality of it is he's not comfortable in that spot. So why do it? Why do it? The other thing real briefly is the Mookie Betts situation. He signed that 13-year extension, $392 million with the Dodgers. I have no ill will towards Mookie, but he didn't want to be here. That's the reality of the situation. When you keep having an organization offer you contract after contract after contract and you pass on all of them, probably didn't want to be here. Now, he was right. He was going to get that money on the open market, and I'm sure COVID-19 had something to do with it, right? Considering the owners and the players were at odds. That had something to do with Mookie being willing to not go to free agency, essentially, and getting the contract done now. But I don't believe Mookie ever wanted to be here. I don't think he was ever negotiating from a place where he wanted to be with the Red Sox long term. I think part of it is Mookie Betts, quite frankly, throughout his major league career, and I know he had an outstanding season where he's the MVP at 346, but he hasn't handled pressure well. Remember that postseason run for the Red Sox? He was basically a non-factor from an offensive perspective. He hit 210, and I get it, you can say small sample size. Well, it's over 60 at-bats. He hit one home run, and it came in the clinching game against the Dodgers. So when there's been pressure with Mookie Betts, he has not performed in the postseason. That's the one thing that is missing from the Mookie Betts resume. And Mookie knows that if you play here and you don't perform in those pressure-packed situations, you hear it from the fan base. He gets to go to L.A., play for the Dodgers. It's cool. Much more laid back. They got other things going on in L.A., right? To go to shows. You got the Lakers. You got a lot of other stuff, right? The Dodgers aren't the biggest show in town in Los Angeles. You're playing for the Red Sox. This is a fishbowl. This is like playing football in the SEC, right, for these SEC coaches. You don't work in the SEC, then you're in a situation where you're going to be out of there real quick. Not that Mookie was going to be out of here real quick, but you don't perform, you're going to hear it. So I believe Mookie never wanted to be here long term. So I believe the Red Sox made the right move in the long term. Unfortunately, they had to attach David Price to that, which basically brought down the value of the deal. Now, you did end up getting Jeter down to the package as well with Alex Verdugo. I believe the Red Sox made the right move long term. I do not believe this is going to work out long term for the Dodgers in terms of the back end of that contract. It's going to look really ugly. I don't think the player is going to age particularly well. But the bottom line is this. Mookie didn't want to be here. He got his money. I have no ill will towards the player whatsoever. But I think the Dodgers are going to find out down the road that this is a bad decision. They shouldn't have signed him to 13 years. That's just the reality of it. But with the Dodgers, what they can say is, hey, we've saved money because we haven't been giving out big contracts. And we're in a position where we're desperate. That's what I think this is with the Dodgers. This seems like a desperate thing. 13 years, it seems like a desperate contract for the Dodgers because they've been so close, but they haven't been able to get over the hump. So they say, all right, let's go all in. He could be the difference for this year or next year. Let's go all in. We got to win a World Series in the next 2 to 3 years or so before Kershaw ages out. We still got Walker Buehler. We got Dustin May, but we got to get it done in the next 2 to 3 years. And then they got to sign Bellinger. And think about what that negotiation is going to be like. Bellinger's like, I want more than Mookie. I won MVP recently, too. You gave Mookie 392. I want 420. So they're going to have to get that contract done as well. All right. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until 8 o'clock. If you want to weigh in on the Red Sox loss today, certainly welcome to do so. The Mookie Betts contract, you can weigh in on that as well. But I will get into some Patriots as well. Rodney Harrison made an interesting comment about Cam Newton and Tom Brady. Apparently says nobody's going to miss Tom Brady. Seems a little crazy. We'll get to that in just a little bit here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
As a player, think about it. If I'm Devin McCourty and I just lose Tom Brady, and all of a sudden in the offseason, I'm like, what the heck is this Jarrett Stidham going to do? Will we, as a defense, do we really have to be the number one defense in the league to win now? Then all of a sudden Cam Newton signs. You're like, holy crap, man, we got a legitimate chance. Like, we can win this division. You automatically forget about Tom Brady, and you feel like you give yourself a really legitimate chance of winning that division and getting back into the playoffs and having success.
All right, that was Rodney Harrison on Pro Football Talk this week, Mike Florio's show. And you heard it. He said, you know what? You know what Devin McCourty's thinking right now? And he's just saying a player. He doesn't know from what he talked about with Devin McCourty. He essentially said, you know what's going on right now is those players went from, hey, do we have to be the number one defense in the NFL? Are we going to have to carry this team to, we're going to forget about Tom Brady because we have Cam Newton? And see, people this week took this comment from Rodney Harrison the wrong way. He's completely 100% right with what he's saying. He's not saying that when Devin McCourty retires from the NFL, that he's going to forget that he played with Tom Brady. He's just saying for right now, he's not going to be looking at it as, oh, what are we going to do without Tom? No, it's we have Cam. Before it was, hey, what are we going to do without Tom? We got, you know, I know Coach like Stidham, but what are we going to do? He's a fourth round pick. What are we going to do? Now you have Cam Newton. A guy that's a former MVP, was playing really well in the 2018 season before he went down with an injury. Now you have that guy walking into the locker room. So with the Patriots, I feel like what the reaction was, we saw it over social media. James White, eye emoji. Julian Edelman, who worked out with Cam Newton last week. What did Julian Edelman do? He photoshopped a picture of him and Cam Newton together. We heard Devin McCourty say that, hey, Bill always says get as many good players as you can. Mohamed Sanu was so surprised he thought it was a prank. He's like, there's no way this is true. And then he went on our sister station Atlanta and started to talk about Cam Newton coming in here. So the players are going to forget about Tom Brady for now because now they think they have a chance to get back to where they want to be, which is winning the AFC East. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Dave in Franklin. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. Got to agree with you on the move there, bringing Colby in. That was ridiculous. I mean, if you don't score the two runs and it's still 5-0, yeah, maybe you bring him in. But you get those two runs, I feel like you're going to win this game. You're into their bullpen, you get Cobb out of the game. I think you're going to make the comeback and probably win it. But you give those two runs right back, it just deflated everything.
Yeah, Dave, it felt like to me that this was something that Ron Renicki and whoever he was discussing this with, they had a plan that, hey, we're going to get Covey into the game today. And he just chose the most inopportune spot to put him in. And the other thing I would say, Dave, is this. Okay, you may have a plan to get Covey into the game, and I understand why they need to get length out of guys coming out of their bullpen, but when the game presents itself in a situation that it's 5-2 in the seventh inning, that tells you, okay, we may have to abort our plan and do it tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah, especially you just got those two runs. It just changes everything. You should have been prepared for that. If it's 5-0, go with it. But if it's 5-2 and you're making a comeback, you don't give those two runs right back.
Yeah.
Get everyone Barnes or somebody else.
Yeah, I don't get it, Dave. Why isn't Matt Barnes available? Matt Barnes didn't pitch last night. It's not like he was overworked last night. Why isn't he available?
Don't get it either. I totally agree with that.
I appreciate the phone call, Dave. 617-779-7937, the number, if you want to grab his line. Matt Barnes, if you were Matt Barnes, would you be pissed right now? I would be. I'm supposed to be one of the best relievers on the team. Yeah. Hey, Ron, I'm out here in the bullpen. Hey, can I go in? I'd like to pitch today at some point. Let me in the damn game. Okay. Matt, maybe tomorrow. Hey, Matt, you know what? I know it's 5-2. I know it's a close game, but you know what we got to do? Come on, man. We're going to get Covey in there. What are we talking about, Matt? I know you want to pitch. I know it's 5-2. I know you want to hold the lead at 5-2. We're going to get, or I know you want to keep it at 5-2 in terms of the deficit. We can't do that right now. What are you thinking? What is Matt Barnes thinking? We need Covey in the damn game. All right, geez. Come on. Matt Barnes wanted to get into the game. You got to get Covey out there. All right?
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlonian.
Jeez. It's time for Covey. I mean, what a... you can't defend it. You can't defend the move today. Now they're sending him down so he can get more length. Incredible. 617-779-7937, the number. I did want to get back to this Cam Newton conversation. So when you look at Newton now, what does Newton have to do this upcoming season to make this deal worth it. And in my mind, based on now what the elevated expectations are with his teammates, this is a situation in my mind where this Patriots team has got to win the division and the offense has to be significantly better than it was in 19. Because if you don't do that, then what was this move for? Essentially, you would have taken a shot at a guy like Cam Newton. And don't give me, oh, well, it didn't cost you anything. Okay, well, if Cam Newton plays 9 games and he stinks, and I believe he's going to be good. So I'm just saying this is a hypothetical. He plays 9, 10 games and the team's not great, right? They're not playing well. And then what happens? Okay, well, then you don't know how much longer you're going to keep him in and you're still in playoff contention. Well, then what happens? Well, then Jarrett Stidham never gets an opportunity to play. So you don't find out. You find out, oh, yeah, Cam Newton's not great anymore. But we also don't find out, hey, is Jarrett Stidham good? And then do we have to take a quarterback in 2021 or are we going with Jarrett Stidham? So those are questions that you would still have to ask yourself if Cam Newton ends up failing. So in my mind, you got to win the division and the offense has to look significantly better than it was a season ago. Now, one thing I would mention about Cam Newton is I don't believe that his on-field chemistry is going to be great with Julian Edelman. Because when I look at the rest of the guys on the roster, I feel like those guys, you can look at similar players that Cam Newton has played with, right? So McCaffrey, great receiver out of the backfield, right? Well, James White is that guy. Not to say that he's the same running back as McCaffrey. McCaffrey's the best running back in the sport. Don't get that twisted. I'm just saying James White, good catching the ball to the backfield. And at 18, Cam Newton was willing to dump it off to the running backs more. Okay, so that's a check in terms of a positive. N'Keal Harry, 6'4", big receiver. Okay, that reminds you of guys like Calvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess, similar body types, right? Even the young tight ends. Cam Newton, we know, loves to throw the ball to the tight ends. He's never had a player with Julian Edelman's type of skill set where he uncovers rapidly. And this is nothing against Edelman. I'm just saying he's never had a guy like Edelman, right? So is Cam Newton going to have that same level of anticipation with Edelman after never playing with him? And I know they just threw in Los Angeles, but he's literally never played with Julian Edelman. And now you're asking him to perform at a high level with Edelman in the equation. Edelman's used to Tom Brady. Okay, I have these option routes. Tom Brady's going to get me the ball real quickly. Well, Cam Newton's never played with that type of guy.
Forget about Tom Brady.
Yeah, according to Rodney Harrison. But I just believe that this is not going to be this great on-field relationship, if you will, that everybody thinks it is just because Edelman's the best receiver on the team. We've never seen Cam with this type of player. We haven't. Reality of the situation. And Edelman, like, Edelman would work with, say, Drew Brees. I'm not saying that Edelman needs Tom Brady, but Drew Brees, right, gets the ball out really quickly. That's what Drew Brees does. That's not what Cam does. So is Edelman going to get kind of frustrated, if you will, if Cam Newton decides, okay, he's open, but let me buy a little time here, then I'll throw it down the field. Cam Newton's a big play guy. He throws the ball down the field. He will dump it off to the running back, or he'll run it himself. He's never been, and you can look at his completion percentage throughout his NFL career. He had one good year where he completed 67% of his passes. The rest of the years, he's at around 60. Cam Newton's never been that guy like Tom Brady that is going to take what the defense always gives him. He's not willing to just say, all right, this is what the defense is giving me, I'll take it. And that's not an indictment on Brady. That's what's made him great. So many quarterbacks won't take the easy pass. Tom Brady's been able to do it for years. But Cam Newton's never really been that guy. So is Edelman going to get kind of frustrated if he's getting open really quickly and he's not getting the ball because Cam Newton wants to buy time and throw the ball down the field? I just don't believe that dynamic is going to be excellent this season. I believe the offense is going to be really good. The running game is going to improve tremendously in my mind. Cam Newton, his last 4 years in Carolina when he's healthy from 14 to 18, that's a top 10 rushing offense each year. In 3 of those 4 years, it's top 5. So I believe the rushing game and the running backs will benefit because Sony Michel, he's going to benefit from the team having to account for what the hell is Cam Newton is doing. So he's going to benefit from it. I just believe that Edelman, he's going to be like the one guy offensively I don't think benefits from Cam Newton. Let's get to Tim and Lowell. What's up, Tim?
Good evening. You know, I don't understand what everybody's whining and crying about this kid Colby coming in.
Okay.
Even if he struck out every hitter he faced, they did not score another run. They were going to lose 5-2. You don't know that, Tim.
You don't know they definitely won.
I know one thing.
What's that?
Bonds blew a lot of games last year. Brazier blew a lot of games last year.
Yeah.
Embry blew a lot of games. Now, if you want to mention a couple of the new arms they picked up in the offseason, I'm with you. Try them out because you saw them in spring training. Maybe Renicky saw something with this kid Colby when he pitched for the White Sox, and he thought he might has something to offer. He was wrong today.
Wait, Tim, hold on one second, though. You think that Renicky believes right now that Covey is a better reliever than Matt Barnes?
What? He did about 5 hours ago. Whatever.
Wait, you actually
Barnes
think
he... Barnes is a closer.
No, he's not.
Barnes is a closer.
No, he's not.
He was not the ninth inning.
Tim, he's not the closer.
He was not the ninth inning when they brought him in.
Tim, Barnes isn't the closer. Workman is.
Well, but so he pitches the eighth inning. Was it the eighth inning when they brought Colby in?
Wait, well, why does he have to pitch the eighth inning? Why can't he pitch the seventh inning?
Because that's what his role normally is. And then
Matt Barnes pitched a lot of seven innings last year. He pitched in the sixth inning last year. What are you talking about? He pitched all over the place last year.
Let me tell you something. Matt Barnes needs a prescription of testosterone because he chokes in the clutch all the time. And
he choked in 18. He choked in 18. You're right. He choked in the 18 postseason. He was horrible.
You know what? You know what? You're on the bandwagon. I see what I see with my own eyes. He's a choker.
Wait, hold on.
He's got the talent to be a good pitcher. He doesn't have the balls to be a good pitcher.
Hey, Tim. What bandwagon? I'm trying to figure out what bandwagon am I on.
I'm on Matt Barnes' bandwagon.
Yeah.
Did you see the games he lost? How many games did the Red Sox bullpen lose last year? How many games did the bullpen lose last year?
Not as many as the starters lost them.
Well, look it up. You got a computer in front of you. Look at how many saves were blown by that bullpen. How many leads were blown by that bullpen? Hit the button. Look it up. See how many it is. I think they may have led the major leagues. I'm not sure, but if they didn't lead, they were right up there.
So, Tim, what do you think about them sending your guy Covey down? They sent him down after the game.
Obviously, after what they saw, I heard what Renicky said. He needs work. He wasn't ready to. He wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready, Tim. Okay, he wasn't ready to go. Oh,
just picked him up yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly my point.
How many runs did the Red Sox score,
Tim?
After he came into the game.
Tim, you don't understand the point. So if you're up 5-2, it's a lot different to go out there and pitch if you're an Oriole reliever than being up 7-2. It's a different...
You're right, buddy. If the Red Sox came back and scored 3 runs, you would have a huge argument.
They didn't
score another run. It didn't matter. They didn't score another run.
Tim, you just accused Matt Barnes of not being mentally tough enough to be a good reliever. You said he's got the talent, but he can't do it mentally. So now you're telling me that there's no mental part involved for the Orioles reliever when now it's a 5-run lead instead of a 3-run lead. There's no mental part of that.
It only works for the Red Sox. Part of it because they didn't score another run. They did not. If they scored 3 runs and got beat 7-5.
So, Tim, it's not different.
What I said is Matt Barnes needs a prescription of testosterone, if you know what that is. That's what he needs.
I've heard of it, Tim. Hey, appreciate the call, stuff, Tim. Good stuff. Great take. 617-779-7937 is the number. I don't know if you can top Tim's call. Unreal. So Matt Barnes, because he was bad at times last year when he was overworked, overtaxed, and the manager last year acknowledged that they overworked him. That's why his numbers were so bad in that middle portion of the season, and he bounced back at the end of the season. Because of that, it was worth giving Covey, who, remember, the Rays just signed him to a minor league deal and traded him in the division to the Red Sox. He was a better option than Matt Barnes because of what Matt Barnes proved last year. It makes total sense. So I believe Matt Barnes is one of the best relievers for the Red Sox. Matt Barnes is one of the best relievers on the Red Sox. I would rather go with him over Covey in the seventh inning. And apparently he said that Matt Barnes needs testosterone. He's got the talent, but he needs testosterone. But apparently that same mental capacity, that same toughness for a reliever when it's a 5-2 game is the same as when it's 7-2. So that pressure, that mental aspect of the game, it only goes to the Red Sox, not the Orioles. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. We'll get back to the Cam Newton stuff. Plus, if you do want to weigh into the game today, certainly welcome to do so. It's 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you on WEI.
Hit the button. Look it up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Oh, that guy was classic. Tim and Lowell, classic, man.
Hit the button. Look it up.
Oh, man. He was a gem. So I'm on the Matt Barnes. This is how you get on the Matt Barnes bandwagon. I figured it out. If you rather Matt Barnes come into a game than Dylan Covey, who had a 7.98 ERA last year, that means you're on the Matt Barnes bandwagon. I'm on. There's room on here. If you want to be on the Matt Barnes bandwagon, come on board, baby. All you got to do is you need to want to have Matt Barnes in a game over Dylan Covey, and that means you're part of the Matt Barnes bandwagon. I'm in. See who else gets in. By the way, I wanted to mention this real quickly before I leave for the night. One thing that sucks about the no preseason in the NFL, think about this. This is the first time, in terms of preseason games I'm talking about, this is the first time as Patriots fans we've ever wanted a preseason, right? We all knew what Brady was. It's just, hey, don't take a hit, Tom. Don't get hurt in preseason. I guess last year a little bit people want to see Stidham. But this year it's like, oh, the Patriots are pretending there's actually a quarterback battle. So you get to see Cam and Stidham. I was all in with the preseason games this year. I wanted to watch the preseason. I wanted to see if Stidham actually made some growth. I wanted to see what the offense, and I get it was going to be bare bones, but I wanted to see what the offense looked like with Cam Newton. The one time we want a preseason, we're not going to get it. It sucks. It sucks. I guess it is going to make week one incredibly intriguing to see. Remember how Randy Moss didn't play in the preseason in 07? It's kind of like that, except the guy that's running the offense is the Randy Moss in the case of Cam Newton. To see what he comes up with for the Miami game, I guess it's going to make week one like must-see TV. Not that it wasn't already, but oh, cannot wait. No preseason sucks. I can't believe I'm saying that. All right, thanks to Dylan and Nick for producing. I'll be back with you tomorrow after the Sox. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.